Life Audio.
Welcome to the Team Us podcast, where we share how grace, commitment, and cooperation can help couples live the everyday moments of marriage together.
Hey, everyone. We're Ted and Ashley Slater. Have you and your spouse ever been on a vacation, whether as a couple or if you have kids as a family, and it didn't go so well? We can relate. Today, we'll share a few of our stories, list some reasons you might be experiencing conflict away from home, and give you 5 marriage survival tips to help you vacation-proof your marriage.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
So, Ted, back in February, I did a podcast interview with Catherine over at Sparkle Speaks, which is also a Life Audio podcast.
Okay.
And we chatted about our episode. It was back near Valentine's Day. So we chatted about our episode that talks about how to rescue a Valentine's Day gone wrong.
It's a perpetual thing for me.
What? How to
rescue it before or after Valentine's Day.
You did well this year, but this is not a topic of Valentine's Day.
No, this is not Valentine's
Day. This is vacation. Anyway, she said, I really wish you'd do one on how to rescue a vacation gone wrong. And I was like, oh, that's a good idea.
So we don't have any experience in that area.
Oh, yes, we do. I even told her, you know, I said, we've got some stories. Like, we've had some great vacations.
We've had some wonderful, awesome vacations.
But we've also had some vacations where we've experienced conflict. And I thought before we jumped into the practical, we would share some of our stories because others might be able to relate.
Okay.
So I'm thinking Grand Canyon.
It's a beautiful location.
Yes. And we just went last summer. So this is a recent example.
Yes.
And we're kind of funny because I feel like you and I take turns with who is more adventurous and who is more playing it safe.
Ah, right.
And on this particular vacation, I was a little more adventurous. Mm-hmm.
And that was more, I don't want to die today, falling off the edge of this cliff.
Yeah, well, okay.
And I prefer you not die either.
Right, but we have to put this in context.
Okay.
Context. So this was not, we went on vacation. We went to the North Ridge Rim, yes, uh-huh. Thank you, and the South Rim.
Uh-huh.
And on our way from the North Rim to the South Rim, right. We stopped at Horseshoe Bend.
Yes.
Which is just beautiful.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, if you don't know what it looks like, Google it and you'll see some pictures. And the girl, like specifically the older girls, like I think they were then 18 and 16. They wanted to climb up some rocks and go a little further.
Past the fence.
Uh-huh. And I went with them. But here's the thing. We were staying far enough away from the edge. I promise we were.
Okay.
But you weren't with us. So you were a little nervous.
I was a little nervous.
And so we had like a public fight. I don't know if we've ever had a public fight, except for maybe before we were married and we had the apostrophe thing, which you can read about in the book, Team Us. Life group and everyone knew we were mad at each other, even though we didn't like publicly fight. But I mean, Yeah. And that just kind of...
Well, I think we had the public fight because I was kind of just grumpy. I mean, I started the vacation grumpy and I kind of ended it grumpy. Are we going to discuss?
Yes. We're going to talk about reasons why.
So I was on edge already.
Yeah. And I think some of that, if we want to really psychoanalyze you,
yeah,
is because you are away from work and not getting the same kind of affirmation you get through work from maybe us.
Yeah.
So
I think there's some truth to that. I think that may have been contributing to my grumpiness.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had that kind of public fight in front of, I think, some older women. And then I think we ended up having another one at one of the Indian reservation restaurants.
I think so.
Probably similar topic there. We eventually, I don't know how many days in, had sat down at breakfast and kind of talked it out.
Yeah.
And were able to work through that. But I'm guessing we're not alone. I'm guessing other people have fights on vacation.
Sure. Absolutely.
Which is why before you go on vacation, it's great to evaluate why you might have conflict and
anticipate.
Well, not as
could go wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if you're aware of things that could trigger conflict or lead to conflict,
right,
I think it's easier to step back and maybe work through those things quicker or even prevent them.
Okay.
So, well, let's talk about some reasons we experience conflict on vacation.
Yep.
And you can, if I have one and you're like, no, that's not true, let me know. But I think these are true of us. And so
right.
I think they might be true for other people. One, we're out of our normal routine. So there's like this emotional security in our day-to-day schedules and routines. And I even read an article over at realsimple.com that said that our routines keep us sane and healthy. And I'll include a link for this in the show notes. They listed 6 ways routines do this, but the one that I think applies here was 5 on the list. And that was routines are calming and comforting. The article said that having a set morning routine, and I quote, will keep you feeling more relaxed and ready for whatever the day throws your way. And so I think that that's something for us. Like when we go on vacation, we're out of our normal routines.
That's true. I mean, my morning routine is listen to the radio, get out of bed, get something to eat, go to work for a while, maybe run an errand or two, work, 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 and then hang out with the family a little bit, maybe some work more.
Right.
Do a bedtime story, also known as watch TV.
Yeah.
And then go to sleep. So it's fairly predictable, normal routine for me. So yeah, when I'm out of that routine, yeah.
Well, and I think they were saying, it was either in this article or another one that I've read, was that when we're in our normal routine and, you know, we kind of know what to expect in the day, if something goes unexpected, we're able to navigate it better within the confines mm-hmm. of that normal routine. Whereas if everything is like could be unexpected, it's harder to deal with stress when it comes up.
Makes a lot of sense.
So, okay. So one, I think that we're out of our normal routine. Mm-hmm. Another reason I think we can have conflict on vacation is that we're living in small spaces.
Yeah, usually we get like a room for every family member.
I wish.
Independently wealthy.
No, I mean, normally we're finding the hotels that sleep 6 of us.
That sleep 5 of us and 6 of us sleep there.
Yeah, we try to find the 6, but that doesn't always happen. Or if it's a road trip,
right.
I mean, we're all in the van for hours.
Right.
You know, and when we moved across country,
oof,
we had 2 cats in the car too.
Well, right. Cool cats.
Yeah. And I mean, if we're flying someplace, I mean, airplanes are small. The seats seem to have gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. You know, I mean, even on our Grand Canyon trip, because there's 6 of us, certain girls had to share beds that we're not used to sharing beds.
Right. Sort of move around when they sleep, flail and stuff.
Right. And we had 1 air mattress that we brought with us. Mm-hmm. But one morning, I just got up and went to Walmart and bought another twin mattress because I was like, you know, yes, sure. It develops character for them to have to learn to sleep in the same beds. But right now, I don't want to develop character. I just want to have a peaceful vacation.
Right.
So, all right. Well, 3 is different vacation styles.
Right. Well, right away, I can think of my vacation style, which is it tends to be a little more calm or chill, sleep in, you know, do some things. And I think you, even though I like to think of myself as adventurous, I think you're more like, let's go. The world is waiting. We're on vacation. Let's go.
Right. Yeah. It's funny because now I'm thinking about it. Mm-hmm. At home, I'm probably a little more of the cautious one in day-to-day life. But when we go on vacation, sometimes I'm more the adventurous one. Specifically, if I have helped plan the vacation and I feel safe.
Right.
Where, like in the different places we're staying or going, because that's a big thing for me. Right. You know, if you were going to go to the Enneagram personalities, I'm the one that likes to feel secure. I don't remember which one that is, maybe 6 or 7. I don't know.
No, it's 6 or 7.
Right. But on vacation, on vacation, because I've looked and said, okay, this hotel feels good, or this place we're going feels good. I feel the freedom to take risks in these new places. And I want to go. Right. And I love to like plan vacation around food and activity.
Well, that's why you go on vacation, you know?
Right.
Experience the local foods and the local scenes and sights. Sure.
Yeah. Well, and I remember when we went to San Francisco back in 2009.
Right.
That was an awesome trip.
Absolutely.
But I think we went, you know, we were very active for a few days. We were going everywhere and walking everywhere. And then I think the last morning I was like, oh, we have a few more hours. Let's go and see stuff. And I think you were like, no, I want to sleep in. I think you were irritated at me that day.
No, not me.
It was where our styles really collided. But I think we're learning how to, I'm learning to chill just a little bit. And
we both are.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Well, you don't need to chill more. You need to like
amp it up.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. Number 4.
Oh, yeah.
Another reason that I think conflict happens on vacation is a lack of sleep.
The thing is, you don't need sleep. I need sleep. I need at least like 24 hours of sleep every night.
Well, I do need sleep. Like last night, I stayed up too late and I'm feeling it today.
Yeah, like 5 hours of sleep.
Didn't you? Yeah, because my body just naturally wakes up early. But I think that I function better on less sleep than you do.
Right.
For whatever reason. But on vacation, I mean, we're probably sleeping less because we're doing things. Or if it's a family vacation, we're all in the same room and not everyone falls asleep at the same speed or the same time.
That's a good point. Right. Like if we're all in the same hotel room, all 6 of us.
Right.
Somebody's like, I want to stay up and watch a cooking show. And somebody else is like, I just want to go to bed.
Right. We probably have half and half. We probably have 3 of us that are morning people. Like we wake up early and are ready to go a little earlier. And then 3 that are like,
yep.
You want me to get out of the hotel room and go somewhere at what time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And number 5 is kids.
Kids.
You know, if it's a family vacation, I mean, we have, love our girls. They're awesome. They all have fun personalities, but there are certain personalities that clash more than others. And under stress and out of our normal routines, we can see that a little bit more. And then I think sometimes that can cause conflict between us because we may not handle the situation or the personalities in the same way.
Right.
Yep. So, good. All right. Well, those are 5 reasons.
So is that the end of the show?
No. Those are why I think we have conflict on vacation. I'm sure there are others that could be added to that list. But let's talk about some must-pack marriage survival tools for vacation so you can vacation.
A problem. There's a
no.
So
let's,
you know what?
Let's learn how to vacation-proof your marriage. And I want to say that we are doing this episode before we go on a cruise to celebrate our 20th wedding anniversary.
And I've never gone on a cruise before. I'm really looking forward to it.
It should be fun.
I've been wanting to go on one for 30 years.
You're going to like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But one reason we're recording the timing of this episode, one, is that we're going into spring break season. So a lot of you listening may be going on family trips.
Yep.
But it's also a good reminder for us as we go on a trip, just to remember to pack these survival tools because we're human. We're going to be out of our normal routines. I'm going to be like, let's go.
And I'll be like, I'll catch up.
Right. Yeah. Which I think a cruise is a good combination of our vacation styles. All right. So the first must pack marriage survival tool for vacation is to accurately assess your situation and realize sometimes it will bring out your worst. That sounds very pessimistic, doesn't it?
It does. Fatalistic.
Well, I think, you know, whether it's a red-eyed flight, which we have done with our kids before.
We've had some rough flights.
Yeah. Or a multi-day road trip or cramped quarters of a hotel room. There are certain travel situations that have the ability to bring out the worst in us. But we've learned from previous vacations, so now we can accurately assess our situation. Like, you and I both understand that we're going to have at least one bad moment, you know, and we make ourselves, like, prepare ourselves to be quick to, you know, repent if we're the one having the bad moment, or forgive and extend grace if it's, you know, the other.
Right. Like the Grand Canyon, the first Grand Canyon trip we did. The second one was fine, I thought. But the first Grand Canyon trip we did, at some point, after some reflection, I was able to see that any of the negativity or conflict we had during the trip was 100% my fault.
I agree.
It wasn't 1% your fault. There wasn't anything you were doing to contribute to it. I was just grumpy because of a number of factors, and I was expressing that grumpiness.
Yeah. And most of the time, that's not the case. Most of the time, I think this is one of the rare occasions where that was the case, because I remember trying to reflect and figure out what I needed to say I was sorry for and being like, I don't think I did anything this time. But most of the time I can step back and go, oh, yeah, that was not cool.
Right.
Well, and I think, you know, when we go on the cruise, you might feel a little overwhelmed by some of the boarding, or when we're boarding, disembarking and embarking, just because there'll be a lot of people, a lot of activity.
Right.
So I can remember, if you feel a little frazzled, not to get frazzled too. You might not. You might be just fine. I might be the one who gets frazzled. But okay. So number two. Remember that you'll be home soon and back to those regular, comfortable habits.
So I can make it for a couple of days.
Yeah. Yeah, we both can. We're going to have fun on our cruise. Oh. But, you know, like moving. When we moved, it's helpful.
Such a hassle.
It's always transition when you get to the other side. When you're taking that kind of road trip, or when you try to make it a vacation type road trip, which we did. It's helpful to go, okay, we will be back in a house soon and we will have our normal routines. And I think you and I connect best through our regular habits and shared activities.
Right.
Which sometimes we try to bring with us on vacation, like watching something at night. Like one of our things is we'll watch the Cooking Channel at a hotel room.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But I think that being away from those regular, comfortable habits can leave us feeling disconnected sometimes. So
for some reason, I hope I'm not taking this verse out of context, but I'm remembering, you know, Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. And so having difficult times during vacation, we're out of your routine. That's not as, you know, painful as the cross. But the point is, you know, we can looking forward to something will help us endure the difficulties of, you know.
Yeah. And that makes me think about something that I don't actually have in my notes. So we'll see if it fits with this point.
You're taking
notes? I have notes that I follow.
Okay.
Yeah. To keep me on track.
Okay.
As much as possible. But I'm thinking about how I think that when we go on vacation, that is one of the times when we feel the most entitled. Like, this is my vacation. We've planned it. We're going to enjoy it. And so if something goes wrong, sometimes it can almost be like, wait a minute, this is not just, this is not right. This is vacation. It's supposed to all be happy and I'm supposed to feel good. But
that's a good point.
That doesn't always happen. And maybe that's why another reason conflict comes up, because we feel like of all times, we don't deserve conflict on vacation.
That's a good point. Do you remember that time we went to Silver Dollar City?
Which one?
And there was a musician that I wanted to listen to.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And finally got to go and see, and everybody was like, let's go somewhere else. I'm like, this is one of my favorite musicians. I just want to stand in the front and listen to this for like the next 2 hours.
I think we had one or two children who were melting down. They were a lot younger then. Yeah. They were probably like 1 and 3, the youngest, or 1 and 4, the youngest ones. And I think they were the ones.
But I think that's an example of me feeling entitled to see this musician and, like, you know, but I'm also a father and.
Right.
And I had to have responsibilities beyond just enjoying a rock show.
And I think sometimes we both then will, well, maybe I have my own situations where I'll do this, but where we might play the victim, like, fine, I'll miss it because you're doing this. Instead of, Because I'm pretty sure I was like, well, you can stay and I'll take the kids out.
No, it's okay.
Yeah. I think it was one of those type things, you know, it's like, okay, well, if it's going to go this way and I'm not going to get it, then I think we all do that in our own ways. I might do it with like, when I don't feel like I'm getting enough help around the house.
Right.
But.
Which is always.
Yeah. All right.
Yes.
We got off a little off track there, but I think that was helpful. Okay. Number three, fake it until you make it. You know, you love your spouse. You just don't feel like it.
You never do that. How can you offer this as advice if you don't practice it yourself?
See, you don't know that I'm practicing it because I'm faking it until I make it.
Like right now?
So I think that the stressful aspects of traveling can sometimes make us feel like we only love each other because we're obligated to. But, you know, as we've talked about a lot, feelings are fickle. They can be convincing when we're stressed and tired and grumpy, but they aren't reliable. They can't be trusted. You know, Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? So I've learned in those moments, you know, when we're not liking each other so much, like at the Grand Canyon, maybe.
Right.
You know, we need to fake it until we make it. Because if we respond with, and we've talked about this a lot on the podcast, if we respond with right action, then our feelings will eventually follow where we choose to lead them.
Right.
So I think, you know, we did a whole episode, what was it? Why Love Isn't Enough to Keep You Together, that explores that.
And I just got that song in my head.
Right. But when we have conflict on vacation, you know, we can choose to escalate it or de-escalate it by how we respond to each other, right? Like, say, I get grumpy. If you get grumpy in return, or, you know, it's only going to make it worse.
Right. It's escalating it. Like,
right. And then the vacation is going to take an even more negative turn when it doesn't have to.
Right. I was thinking love covers a multitude of sins.
Right.
So meaning the way I interpret that would be that it overlooks something that you perceive as sinful or annoying or something. You just overlook it. And that's what love is. Just let it go.
Right.
Let it get you under your skin.
Right. Especially if you want to enjoy your vacation.
There you go.
So. All right. Number four, we've talked about this one a lot.
This is a good one.
Is have a common enemy. I always have problems saying that, don't I? Every episode.
Do that again.
Have a common enemy. It's like Nemo when he's trying to say it.
Anemone.
Thank you. Yes, I can't say that either. But, you know, we've talked about this. And, you know, a vacation example might be the kids who fight over the hotel bed sheets every single night. We had a vacation back in, I think it was when we came out to visit your dad before he died, when they were up at Lake Havasu. I think we stayed somewhere and the kids were fighting over the sheets every single night, you know?
Right. So the enemy is the conflict among
right.
kids.
Yeah. Your kids are not actually your enemies, but you know,
we were on the same side trying to deal with this enemy.
Solve the problem.
Solve the problem.
Yes. And whatever we did, I think we might have tried to use that as a teachable moment to develop character in them, which is why, you know, like 6-7 years later, I'm like, no, I'm just going to go buy another air mattress. But I think when we're stressed and sleep deprived or disagreeing on what's next on the agenda, it's easy to forget that we're on the same team.
Right.
You know,
this almost feels like a cheat to me.
Yeah.
Because if we're having a conflict, it almost feels like a kind of triangulation that, you know, like I was working for somebody a few years ago who is a toxic employer, and we were having some conflict about the work situation. But when we sort of spun it so that I blamed this guy for some of the conflict, and then you blamed this guy for some of the issues, and then we're kind of on the same side now against this toxic person.
Yeah. That's true. But I mean, in that particular situation, I probably still tried to help you identify where I thought
he's not my employer anymore.
could change. Yeah. But I feel like, you know, finding a common enemy on vacation, if you have to, keeps you as a team, keeps you problem solving, and can actually be kind of a fun challenge. You know, maybe it's, okay, how can we keep the kids from fighting over the sheets? What's a fun way we can incentivize them?
Nobody gets a sheet.
Yeah, I think that would create other problems.
Time to cuddle.
Yeah. I guess the big thing is don't let problems on vacation divide you. Instead, you know, make it us versus the problem.
Yeah.
And then figuring out creative ways you can solve the problem, which actually builds your team working skills.
Right. So enemy is not always a person. In fact, perhaps it's mostly not a person. It's an issue or a situation.
Right.
Hypothetical enemy.
Yeah. It's what's a common hiccup you could have on vacation? Yeah, not a literal hiccup. Like a common, you know, maybe there's an issue with a rental car, or there you forgot to pack. One of you was supposed to pack something and the other one could get really irritated that it was forgotten. Instead, okay, you don't have that item. So how can you either survive without it or where can you go get it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. So number five, laugh about it together and don't wait until it's all over. So if you have these conflict or, you know, things are going wrong, you can laugh together. Like when the kids were fighting over the sheets and one child was yelling at 3 a.m., stop it, to her snoring sister, you know, we can laugh about it together. And that draws us together. There's just something about laughter. I mean, just the other day, I was really tired and I was driving one of our girls to performance she was doing while I was going to do a book signing, and I just felt tired and out of it and hangry and grumpy. But something came up in the car and we all started laughing about it. And I don't know, between food and laughter, I felt a lot better.
It's good.
So
now let me interject something here.
Yes.
I wrote my master's thesis on laughter.
Yes.
So if anybody's interested in looking that up, look it up.
Yeah. Which is pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was a hard thesis to write.
There's lots of benefits to laughter. Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds I'm realizing this episode and our must pack tools sound a little pessimistic. But the truth is that we are all imperfect people. There will be conflict. And so if we can prepare for possible conflict in advance, I think it really can help us enjoy our vacation more.
Right. Absolutely.
So, okay. So to recap, five ways you can vacation-proof your marriage is one, you can accurately assess your situation and realize sometimes it will bring out your worst. So be quick to repent, forgive, extend grace.
That is not always easy, but got to do it.
Right.
Anyway, number two.
And sometimes it means dying to our own pride and being like, well, that offended me and I didn't deserve that. Instead going, I'm going to let it go.
Interrupted the summary. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
We're on number two.
Okay. Number two, remember that you'll be home soon and back to those regular, comfortable habits. And I say that saying, enjoy your vacation, enjoy being someplace new and having adventures. But in those moments when maybe it wears you out or you feel the stress of it, remember that it's not forever and try to enjoy it. Because once you get home, you'll be like, I wish I was back.
Regret.
Yeah. So it helps, not have regret. Three, fake it until you make it. You know you love your spouse, you just don't feel like it. And don't be sarcastic when you fake it until you make it, because that's not going to help anything. Have a common enemy.
Oh, yeah.
And number five, laugh about it together and don't wait until it's all over.
Excellent.
So now it's us time challenge. Okay, our us time challenge is if we have moments where we could get offended or have conflict when we go on our trip, going to practice these things because it's going to be a fun trip. Yeah. But for those of you listening, maybe look back at a previous vacation that maybe didn't go so well. You know, talk and laugh about it and, you know, talk about what you could have done differently. And when I say you, I mean, focus on you and your heart attitudes. Don't focus on what your spouse could have done differently, because I think change starts with us. I mean, our pastor was talking about that today. You know, if you want to be a better spouse, don't start thinking about how your husband or wife should change. Yeah. And if you're going to go on a vacation soon, like we are, maybe put these into practice. So, yeah.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us on the Team Us podcast. We're looking forward to the next time as we keep talking about how grace, commitment, and cooperation can help couples live the everyday moments of marriage together.
Team Us with Ted and Ashley Slater is a production of Life Audio and Salem Media. If you liked what you heard today, please take a second to rate and review the podcast in your favorite podcast app so that more listeners like you can find the show. For more faith-filled, inspirational podcasts, visit us at lifeaudio.com.
Hello, my name's Rachel Carmen, and I want to invite you to come over and listen to my podcast. It's called Real Refreshment. For years and years as a young mother, I chased after the wind, thinking that the world could offer me the refreshment I longed for. But it was only when I discovered it in the person of Jesus Christ that I really found refreshment. Come on over and join me as we dig into Bible study. I'll see you there.